Today we're in part two of how to build up God's house, and we are in verses 16 all the way to 35 today. And one of the things that we're learning how to build God's home according to His precepts, His Word. Ahora estamos aprendiendo cómo seguir aplicando los preceptos para construir la casa de Dios cuando nos da su escritura. Entonces, en esta tarde vamos a estar en la parte número dos, donde vamos a estar construyendo esa casa del Señor conforme sus preceptos. Ok, ¿se acuerdan la semana pasada? El primer punto que cubrimos era que la tenemos que construir con integridad. Remember last week we went over the precepts, the first part of it, and it said we've got to build our home with integrity. That was the first point. Well, the second point today is we've got to build it in His guidance. Tenemos que construirla con su guianza. You know, one of the things when we were first married, that we got our first home, we would always be bugging the contractors. We would go every day during our lunch hour, and we would sit by and make sure they were building it correctly, to make sure they weren't cheapening, you know, the materials, make sure that we got everything that we asked for in the contract. And one of the things is we would be there every day. They got used to us, so they wouldn't skimp on any of the things anymore. This is how we have to construct God's house. He is seeing how we live every day. And as long as we are close to Him and we build up the home under His precepts, we are going to have a godly home full of His presence and full of His peace. Tenemos que aprender cómo construir conforme el constructor de constructores. Y una de las cosas más bonitas, ¿verdad?, que vamos aprendiendo, cuando primer recién casado estábamos yo y Rosy, que compramos nuestra primer casa, andábamos ahí de encismosos, ¿verdad?, en la hora del lonche. Íbamos y mirábamos qué material usaban y si lo estaban haciendo de acuerdo a lo que el contrato decía. Y muchas veces los agarramos en cosas que estaban incorrectas. Pues entonces ya cuando íbamos todo el tiempo, ya se comenzaron a portar mejor, ya no había errores. Eso es lo mismo con el Señor. Entre más vives con Él, Él es el constructor de constructores, y entre más confías en Él y su palabra, vas a construir una casa que Dios aprueba de, y que el Señor está ahí dándote a ti tu paz y lo que necesitas en la casa. So vamos a los versículos 16 y 17 y comenzar a nuestro estudio, ¿verdad? Construyéndola con guianza. Okay, let's build it with guidance. Let's start with verses 16 and 17. We need His guidance in order to guide us how to build a home. Necesitamos la guianza del Señor para que nos enseñe a construir. Proverbios 14, 16 y 17. Proverbs 14, 16 and 17. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. El sabio teme y se aparta del mal, pero el necio es arrogante y descuidado. El hombre pronto a la ira obra neciamente, y el hombre de malos designios es aborrecido. Okay, so one of the things is, remember, when a person is unwise, he usually goes his own way without consulting anyone. And he usually ends up in trouble. Cuando una persona quiere construir de su manera y no toma consejo, ¿verdad?, esa persona se va a hallar en caminos y sendas incorrectas. Pero el hombre de Dios, ¿verdad?, está satisfecho con los caminos de Dios. Ahí le encanta estar. See, the godly man loves and is satisfied to walk in God's ways, because he knows those paths are safe, those paths are sure, and when we walk in His ways, we are protected from ending up on a wrong road, going the wrong way. Cuando estamos en su camino correcto, ¿verdad?, nos previene de andar en el camino equivocado, donde andamos caminando, ¿verdad?, en contra de su voluntad. See, the naive believes everything. That's one of the things, ¿verdad? El necio cree todo. But the sensible man considers his steps. Every single morning you wake up, you should consider where your steps are taking you. Cada día en la mañana tienes que considerar dónde te están llevando tus pies, porque donde van tus pies, ahí vas a estar tú. Wherever your steps take you, that is where you're going to end up. So if you ask God, Lord, bless my steps to be in the place where I'm going to honor you throughout the day, that where I go, my feet go, are places where you approve of, because you're going to be guiding me there. Cuando tú estás conmigo, Señor, y tomo mis pies, el primer paso en la mañana, Señor, que estos pies se vayan al lugar donde estás tú. Y no me quiero apartar de ahí. See, the wise man is cautious, it says here, and turns from evil. El hombre sabio, ¿verdad? Camina con cuidado y se voltea de lo malo. That means when we walk, we just don't walk to walk. We walk with precision. We walk with knowing where we're stepping. Tenemos que caminar con precisión para que podamos entrar en los lugares correctos. But a fool is arrogant and careless. He'll run everywhere and anywhere, and he'll get into trouble all by himself without any help. El arrogante, ¿verdad?, está descuidado, no se cuida dónde va y muy fácil cae en las trampas. Y luego también lo que pasa con muchos de los que son necios, se le volan las tapas. Pierde su modo de hablar, pierde su modo de comportamiento, ¿verdad? Y es una de las cosas donde entra en peligro, si se enoja rápido. Entonces habla con tonterías y lastima gente a su izquierda, a derecha y atrás y al frente. Se descuida. Remember that a person also who loses their temper, when their temper boils over, you'll usually end up in hot water, right? And basically, when you see that in their lives, the person who doesn't want to walk with God, you always see them in hot temperature, trial after trial, and they don't come to God because they're so arrogant. Gente que sabe, ¿verdad?, que sus problemas siguen y siguen, pero no se quieren venir al Señor. Y luego cuando se enojan y andan hablando tonterías que lastiman y andan heriendo a personas, no solamente en su familia, pero alrededor también. Okay, it never pays to lose your temper, right? Nunca paga de perder tu comportamiento, tu temperamento. Tu temperamento tiene que estar bajo control todo el tiempo. Porque si no, en un momento que te descuides, ¿qué pasa? Haces tonterías, y me ha pasado a mí. Right, one of the things is when you lose your temper, you speak and you mess up. And it's happened to me, and if you're angry, you'll do something or wish you hadn't said something that you will regret. Be careful. Always be under the Spirit's guidance, under self-control. You have the ability through the Holy Spirit to maintain self-control. Que tienes la habilidad del dominio propio. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. Vamos a Ecclesiastes 7, versículo 9. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. Isn't that true? No te apresures en tu espíritu a enojarte, porque en el enojo se anida en el seno de los necios. Y ahí se mira. Be careful how you speak. Okay? Look at Proverbs 14, 18 to 20, verses 18 to 20. Proverbios 14, 18 al 20. The naive inherit foolishness, but the sensible are crowned with knowledge. The evil will bow down before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even by his neighbor, but those who love the rich are many. Los simples heredan necedad, mas los prudentes son coronados de conocimiento. Los malos se inclinarán ante los buenos y los impíos a las puertas del justo. Aún por su vecino es odiado el pobre, pero son muchos los que aman al rico. You know what this reminded me of? When I was thinking about scripture, and I was thinking about the prodigal son. One of the things, he had a lot of friends while he was spending the money of his father, didn't he? El hijo pródigo tenía muchos amigos cuando andaba gastando el dinero de su papá, ¿verdad? Le sobraban, pero ¿qué pasó cuando ya se quedó quebrado? ¿Dónde estaban todos esos amigos que les compraba las cervecitas? Ya no se encuentran. Así pasa en la vida, ¿qué no? Te vienes al Señor, de repente todos esos que decían que eras amigo, ya no vienen ni te visitan. How many of us have gone through, when we became Christians, we lost that group of friends we used to hang out with, unbelievers. And when we had beer and we had the things where we were buying, man, everybody loved you, right? But the moment you said, you know what, I don't do that anymore. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Those friends disappeared. It happened to the prodigal son, right? And one of the things is, the question is, what kind of friends do you have? If you're a Christian, you're supposed to have like-minded friends. Friends who think like you, pray like you, live like you, that you really love the Lord. It's very important. See, the naive inherit foolishness, it says here. Right? And one of the things is when they are making these bad decisions, they usually have the worst friends available, getting them into trouble. Aquí cuando miras el necio, ¿verdad? Que anda haciendo sus decisiones incorrectas, ¿verdad? Por eso es herencia la maldad, es herencia también las tonterías, porque ese es el tipo de amigo que tienes. Entonces muchas veces, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que dice aquí, que un día el malvado se va a postrar ante el bueno. Look at what it says. The wicked will one day bow at the gates of the righteous. See, one of the things is they make fun of you at first. People, because of your decision in Christ, they might mock you because you're a Christian that wants to live for Christ. One of the things I want to tell you, when they see your life turn around, they'll know the difference. And they will see, even though they never admit it, they're going to know that you have that new life in Christ. And they will bow one day to the King. Remember that. And one of the things that the Lord will do, he will show them the error of their ways. And if they never repented, you know where they're going, the way of destruction. It'll eventually lead them to be destroyed. El necio se va a destruir si no se arrepiente. Pero acuérdate, un día se van a postrar. Y una de las cosas, ¿verdad?, que dice aquí, que el pobre también es odiado por su vecino. The poor is hated even by his neighbor. But those who love the rich are many. Pero los que quieren a rico, muchos. Se acaba el dinero, pierdes esos dineros. Hay muchos que aman a los ricos por lo que les pueden comprar. Pero se acaba eso y miras que no son ciertos. Y yo miré eso realmente en mi vida. Cuando miré una vez una amiga que era esposa de doctor, y el doctor se murió. Y de repente se le apartaron todos los amigos también. Es triste. I've seen it firsthand, where there's this lady that was a wife to the doctor. And then when everything ended, right, he passed away, all of a sudden, all those friends didn't even want to hang out with her. They left her alone as a widow. See, those are things that the Bible is telling us, be careful. See, we are children of God, but we're not foolish. And if you're a young person here today and you think, man, I like these guys that get me into trouble, guess what? They're going to lead you down the path where you're going to regret hanging out with them. They will get you in trouble. That's what the Bible says. So avoid hanging out with the bad crowd. Stay with the crowd that worships and praises and serves the way you do. Quédate con la gente que adoran y sirven al Señor igualmente. And that applies to all of us, right? But the main thing, young people usually like to hang out with people. Oh, they're cool. They get into trouble. I want to be like that. It leads to no good. Hay gente joven que dice, no, este es bien travieso, me gusta porque todo el tiempo anda haciendo algo. Y el Señor dice, mira, todos esos caminos te llevan al lugar donde vas a tener problemas. Mucho cuidado. Look at verse 21 of Proverbs 14. He who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. El que desprecia a su prójimo peca, pero el feliz es el que se apiada de los pobres. Okay? One of the things that you have to be careful for is not to look down on the poor. So many times we get down on the poor. Oh, why isn't he working harder? Why is he on the corner with the cardboard? We don't know what they've gone through. And many times one of the things is, you know, we think we're better than them and we're not. We're saved by grace just like the Lord. We, by his grace, are not there with the cardboard. Nosotros, por la gracia del Señor, ¿verdad?, tenemos que tener cuidado de no menospreciar los pobres, porque una de las cosas, muchas veces los andamos cortando. ¿Por qué no trabajan más duro? ¿Por qué no son mejores personas? ¿Por qué siguen pecando? Todas estas cosas. Y una de las cosas que el Señor nos dice, que tenganos misericordia del pobre. See, the Lord teaches us to have mercy on the poor. See, and one of the things, he has a special place for the poor in his heart. Señor tiene un corazón muy tierno para el pobre. Y una de las cosas se concierne con ellos. Él es el defensor de ellos, el defensor. See, he defends the poor. He always says it in scripture. And when we come against the poor people, we come against God. What we have to do is pray for them. Lord, deliver them so that they can meet you. Once they're delivered, they won't be there. Tenía un amigo que batallaba mucho con el alcohol y al fin quedó en bancarrota abajo de un puente. Cuando el evangelio le llegó, lo limpió, lo lavó, y al rato se hizo su dueño de su propia compañía de hacer techos. Un amigo que por muchos años era muy cercano a mí, lo quería mucho porque miraba su corazón para Cristo y hacía todo, y la compañía lo usaba para la gloria de Dios. Cuando el Señor transformó su vida, era algo hermoso, que cuando murió ya hizo todo lo que el Señor le mandó, pero el diablo le quería robar ese llamado. Y esa gente que miramos en las calles y todo, es el diablo que quiere destruir vidas, quiere robarlos de su llamado que tiene el Señor para ellos. See, every time we see someone homeless, remember not to look down on them, because very easily we could be there. The thing is, we have to pray more and say, Lord, open their eyes to meet you, because once they meet you, they'll learn to work. They'll be able to get out of the streets. I had a friend who came to the Lord. He was under the bridges because he became an alcoholic. And so the devil was trying to rip him off of his family and everything. What happened with him, he got saved, the gospel came in, and then when the word became real in his life, he started working and he became the owner of his own roofing company. When he became the owner of that company, his company was dedicated to the Lord. He loved the Lord and he would use what God gave him for God's glory. And the beautiful part about that, when he passed away, he left everything for the Lord, as far as he said, this is all yours, Lord. See, so many people that are on the corners with those cardboard signs, well, many people that are out there in dire straits are because the devil is trying to rip them off of their calling. Every single human being has a calling. And what he tries to do is rob you of family, tries to rob you of your calling, tries to rob you of your position in Christ as a child of God. And so when you see them, just pray, Lord, help them. Become those people that one day are your sons, your daughters. But don't look down on them. Don't, because God has a special place for them. Remember, when you come against the poor, you'll come against God. Another thing, we are never to take advantage of the poor, ever. Okay, never. Not in personal matters, not in civil matters, not in financial matters. We should never take care of the poor. Take advantage of the poor, even to get our houses fixed or do things and then pay him a measly wage. We cannot do that. We will answer to God for that. Nosotros tenemos que cuidar al pobre bien y no tomar a ventaja de Dios en temas personales o civiles o también financiales. No tomen provecho porque no tienen con qué. Luego trabajan duro y luego no les pagas como debes. Eso vamos a contestar al Señor, acuérdense. Okay? So, remember, this is point number two. Build with his guidance. He's teaching you through his word how to treat people, how to live. And once you do that and you have his guidance, your home will be filled with peace. Cuando tú ya sigues los preceptos de Dios y sigues su guianza, vas a tener un paz tremendo en tu hogar. No hay nada más bonito llegar cansado del trabajo, ¿verdad? Y luego llegar a tu casa que dices, vean, esta es mi casa que me dio el Señor. Y luego te quita los zapatos y ahí se frega todo, ¿verdad? Ahí envenenas a todos, no te creas. Te quitas tus zapatos ahí y dices, este es el hogar donde está la presencia de mi Señor. Y es bonito. It's wonderful as a Christian man, right, when you want to go home. You say, man, I want to go to my home because it's filled with God's peace. If God is guiding your home, he will give you that kind of peace. You get home and you say, man, no place like home, because the presence of God is there. All right, so that's point number two. We have to build his home with his guidance. Tenemos que construir con él como nuestra ganancia. Okay, point number three. Bind it with his truth, or build it with his truth. Construyela con su verdad. Let's go to verses 22 to 35. No se perderán los que, okay, they will not go astray who devise evil, but kindness and truth will be to those who devise good. In all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the folly of fools is foolishness. A truthful witness saves lives, but he who utters lies is treacherous. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. In a multitude of people is the king's glory, but in the dearth of people is a prince's ruin. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but who is quick-tempered exalts folly. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. He who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. The wicked is thrust down by his wrongdoing, but the righteous has a refuge when he dies. Wisdom rests in the heart of one who has understanding, but in the hearts of fools it is made what? Known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. The king's favor is toward a servant who acts wisely, but his anger is toward him who acts shamefully. No se perderán los que traman el mal, pero misericordia y verdad reciben los que planean el bien. En todo trabajo hay ganancia, pero el vano hablar conduce solo a la pobreza. La corona de los sabios es su riqueza, mas la necedad de los necios es insensatez. El testigo verá salvas vidas, pero el que habla mentiras es traidor. En el temor del Señor hay confianza segura, y a los hijos dará refugio. El temor del Señor es fuente de vida para evadir los lazos de la muerte. Y en la multitud del pueblo está la gloria del rey, pero en la falta de pueblo está la ruina de príncipe. El lento para la ira tiene gran prudencia, pero el que es irascible ensalza la necedad. Un corazón apacible es vida para el cuerpo, mas las pasiones son podredumbre de los huesos. El que oprime al pobre afrenta a su hacedor, pero el que se apiada del necesitado le honra. El impío es derribado por su maldad, pero el justo tiene un refugio cuando muere. En el corazón del prudente reposa la sabiduría, pero en medio de los necios no se da a conocer. La justicia engrandece a la nación, pero el pecado es afrenta para los pueblos. El favor del rey es para él servir, que obra sabiamente, más su enojo es contra el que obra vergonzosamente. Okay, so I want you to see this as we build in his truth. The poor in verses 22 and 23 may not be able to afford worldly lawyers, right? But they got the best lawyer they can in their corner, the lawyer of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, many times we forget that. For every time that the poor person is done injustice, God is watching, and he will defend the poor. Los pobres, ¿verdad? Quizás no pueden tener el dinero para abogados, ¿verdad? Buenos, pero una de las cosas que tienen al mejor abogado con ellos que los defiende, que es el Señor Jesucristo, ¿verdad? Todo el tiempo tenemos que recordarnos de eso, porque una de las cosas que en toda labor, ¿verdad? Hay ganancia. In all labor there is profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. See, when people are devising evil against the poor, one of the things that will happen is God will hold them accountable one day. And one of the things that will happen, right, is that they will give also an account for their life. So don't worry about them as far as what they're doing. Pray more, Lord, help them. Get back on their feet so they can learn how to work so their lives will be blessed. Mucha gente se roba porque no trabaja. Y el Señor dice, sin trabajo no comes, ¿verdad? Y una de las cosas más importantes para nosotros es que el pobre tiene que entender eso. Pero también si los van a abusar o van a tomar a ventaja de ellos, tienen el mejor abogado que los va a proteger. Y ese es el Señor Jesucristo. Eso es bonito, ¿verdad? Look at verses 22 and 23. Miren los versículos 22 y 23, ¿verdad? Will they not go astray who devise evil? No se perderán los que traman el mal. See, those that are planning evil, they'll get their due diligence. They'll get their due price and God will give justice. Los que andan de malo, ¿verdad? Van a tener el juicio correcto del Señor. But look at what it says. But kindness and truth will be to those who devise good. Pero ¿qué dice aquí en la palabra, verdad? Pero la misericordia y verdad recibirán los que planean el bien. When you plan, always plan to do good. God will bless you for that. Cuando haces tus planes, todo el tiempo toma esas planes, ¿verdad? Pero una de las cosas que tienes que entender, ¿verdad? Que no tenemos nosotros que menospreciar a los pobres. We should not look down on the poor. And we should not look down on the validity of hard work. Because you know what? We need hard work in order to make it. Necesitamos trabajo duro. Some people are poor because they like to talk a lot and they don't like to work a lot. Hay mucha gente que también les encanta hablar mucho, pero no les gusta poner el esfuerzo en el trabajo. Esto me recordó de la parábola de los dos hijos en San Mateo 21. Vamos ahí. San Mateo 21, versículos 28 al 32. Okay, some people are needy because they need to learn how to work. And it reminded me of the parable of the two sons in Matthew 21. Let's go there. Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in the vineyard." And he answered, "I will not." But afterwards he regretted it and went. The man came to the second son, and he said the same thing, and he answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him, and you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward so as to believe him." Dice, "Pero qué os parece? Un hombre tenía dos hijos, y llegándose al primero, le dijo, 'Hijo, ve y trabaja hoy en la viña.' Y respondió y le dijo, 'No quiero.' Pero después se arrepintió y fue. Y llegándose al otro, le dijo lo mismo, pero él respondió y dijo, 'Yo iré, Señor.' Y no fue. ¿Cuál de los dos hijos hizo la voluntad del padre?" Ellos dijeron, "El primero." Jesús les dijo, "En verdad os digo que los recaudadores de impuestos y las rameras entran en el reino de Dios antes que vosotros. Porque Juan vino a vosotros en camino de justicia y no le creíste, pero los recaudadores de impuestos y las rameras le creyeron. Y vosotros, viendo esto, sin siquiera os arrepintieron después para creerle." So cuando miramos, ¿verdad?, aquí la parábola, un hijo dijo las palabras correctas, pero nunca hizo el trabajo, ¿se fijaron? El otro hijo se expresó y dijo, "No, no va a ir." Pero después se arrepintió, ¿y qué hizo? Fue. ¿Cuál de los dos agradó a su padre? Le está preguntando Jesús a los judíos y a los líderes religiosos. ¿Verdad? El que hizo lo que el padre le mandó, aunque de primero, ¿verdad? Así son los tus hijos, a veces les tenemos que dar vueltas un poco para que miren cómo trabajar y hacer ese buen trabajo. Tenemos que estar empujándolos, pero al rato ya agarran vuelo. De primero tienen una actitud malo y luego después ya van y comienzan a hacer el trabajo y como les enseñaste, lo terminan bien. You know how your children work, right? Many times you want them to help or you serve with the Lord, and their attitude is raunchy, it's bad. And you're trying to get them to work for the Lord, and it's hard. And then all of a sudden, once you get them warmed up, they repent and they start working with the right attitude. You know, because the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. And so one of the things is they start doing the job correctly. And then it makes you proud because you see the work they did and that you taught them that work. And so one of the things is the way it works here, right? Is what he's saying is it's better not to promise to do something if you're not going to do it. But if you promise to do something, even if you get, you know, to start late and your attitude changes and you finally do it, God is more honored with that. And this is what the Bible is saying. See, we hurt others by talking instead of doing. And that's what he's saying. Nosotros lastimamos a otros más por hablar y no trabajar. Look at verse 24 of Proverbs 14. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the folly of fools is foolishness. La corona de los sabios es su riqueza, mas la necedad de los necios es insensatez. See, the wise man will use his riches wisely. That means he uses them for God's glory. El hombre rico, ¿verdad?, que es creyente, va a usar sus riquezas con sabiduría. Los va a usar para la gloria de Dios. Pero el hombre rico que no cree en el Señor usa sus riquezas para sí mismo. See, and what the Bible is saying here, that the rich man that doesn't know God, he will use his riches for himself, but not for the glory of God. And so one of the things, he will use them only to glorify his own self and to line his own pockets. Everything we have as Christians, remember, is from God. And everything that we have, we are to use for his glory. It doesn't matter if it's only 2 denarii, it's only 2 coins that we have. We think about, Lord, how am I going to use this in order to bring you glory? Todo lo que tenemos financialmente, acuérdense, aunque sean 2 denarios o 2 pesetas, lo que sea, monedas, tenemos que usarlo todo para la gloria de Dios. Y muchas veces, gente ya ni en el día recogen pennies, ¿te has fijado? En la calle. Muchos dejan pennies y hasta ni dimes ni pesetas ya recogen. Los otros de chiquito todo el tiempo andamos levantando todo. Porque sabemos que se aprecia ese penny, ¿verdad? Pero en el día de hoy están tan chiples ya que les damos todo, que ya ni siquiera quieren recoger. No, no, pues era de papá, de mamá. Notice how things are changing. In the days when we would see pennies as kids, we would pick those up right away without even skipping a beat. Today, I see coins all the time on the ground that nobody wants to pick up. Dimes, nickels, you name it. And sometimes they'll lose them, right? But the thing is, the effort to go after that one coin, says, what for? What's a penny worth? Well, if you get 100 of them, you'll find out you'll get it into a dollar bill. Buy yourself a Coke or something, even though you can't buy a Coke anymore for a dollar. But the issue is to appreciate what you have. And this is one of the things that when you realize that everything you have belongs to God, then you use it wisely for his glory. Okay, so use things more wisely. Don't take for granted and throw things just to throw them out. Make sure that you fix those things you can fix and then bless somebody with them if you don't want. Si hay cosas que tú puedes componer y muchas veces ya no quiero batallar con esta cosa, la compones, dásela a alguien que la pueda usar. Okay? Look at verse 25 of Proverbs 14. Proverbios 14, 25. A truthful witness saves lives, but he who utters lies is treacherous. El testigo veraz salva vidas, pero el que habla mentiras es traidor. Right? One of the things that you see here is when we are doing these words or giving these words out, one of the things is if you speak with deceit, you're going to lead people astray. But if you speak with truth, you're going to honor the Lord with that truth. Our words can rescue people in trouble many times. Bad marriages, financial breakdowns, things that oppression, depression come with it. With our words of life, we can either build out people, and if we don't, we're going to tear them down. We have to be careful how we minister to people. Tenemos que tener cuidado cómo ministramos a gente. Una de las cosas, ¿verdad? Cuando en el contexto que está aquí, en la cultura de Israel y su sistema judicial, cuando acusaban a un criminal en Israel, ¿verdad? Tenían que verificarlo con 2 o 3 testimonios, ¿verdad? Entonces, un testigo falso podía condenar a un agente inocente si no tenían esos testigos. When you place this in the culture of the Israel, the Jews, remember they would have every testimony verified by 2 or 3 witnesses. What would happen is many times people would put people under the bondage of false accusation. And what would happen is these people would get condemned and they were innocent. That's why one of the reasons why they always wanted 2 or 3 witnesses. The same thing in our lives. Our words can build up people or they can tear people down. Nuestras palabras pueden levantar a gente o pueden romper. El Señor nos enseña a edificar las vidas. The Lord teaches us to lift up lives, right? And then Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. En el temor del Señor hay confianza segura, y a los hijos dará refugio. El temor del Señor es fuente de vida para evadir los lazos de la muerte. Okay, so one of the things I want you to see here, when parents walk with God, they give their children a heritage. And this heritage will enrich their lives forever. When you teach them God's word and you leave them God's word, this is going to bless their lives forever. Doesn't mean they won't get into trouble. What it means is you've left them the keys to be able to have a life filled with joy in the midst of turmoil in this fallen planet. Acuérdense que una de las cosas, cuando los padres caminan con Dios, le dejan a sus hijos una legacía que los va a enriquecer por medio de todas sus vidas. Va a ser algo muy bonito para ellos. Entre más caminan los padres con Dios, cercanamente, traen belleza y hermosura y protección a sus hogares. See, the more parents walk with God in closeness, they bring God's beauty and protection within their homes. The more you walk with God, the more your home will be covered. See, the enemy doesn't want that in our homes. There's a mission by the Antichrist system in this world to destroy homes, the family unit especially. El anticristo tiene un sistema ahorita designado para destruir familias. Por eso le encanta que padre y madre se separen para que los hijos se queden divididos, para que afecte que esa familia camine con Dios. Y entre más divide los hogares, más éxito va a tener en que esos niños no se vengan al Señor. Tienes que pelear por eso, ¿verdad? El temor del Señor, acuérdense, es bendición, es fuente de vida. When you fear God and you walk with God in your marriage, the closer you get as parents with the Lord, the more you're going to bless your home. Satan doesn't want that. The world wants to penetrate our homes. How many of you understand that? There's an agenda to hit our kids even at a young age now. More and more, they're trying to even question what gender they are. En ese sistema quieren confundir a nuestros hijos que si son mujeres o son hombres. Y más anda pegando este sistema. Nosotros como padres tenemos que proteger esos hogares. ¿Cómo los protegemos? Conteniendo devocionales con ellos, compartiendo la palabra con ellos diariamente y orar con ellos. How do we prevent this antichrist system from getting into our homes? Well, we have to practice what God gave us, the tools, the word, the prayer consistently, not just once every once in a while, but continually, so that the word gets in the heart of our children and the minds of our children. They're trying to indoctrinate them at a very early age now to be antichrist. And we have to be careful with that. We have to read the word more frequently with our kids. All of us can do better in that area. Todos tenemos que ser más frecuentes con leer la palabra con nuestros hijos. Todos podemos mejorar en esa área. ¿Cuántas veces adoramos con nuestros señores en la casa? How many times do we worship with our kids at home? Right? We can all do better when we come and understand. See, godly parents need to keep these spiritual walls up in the home. Los padres que están atrás del corazón del Señor tienen que estar levantando, edificando esos muros fuertes con la armadura y la herramienta que nos ha dado el Señor para vencer al enemigo. See, God's given us weapons. He's given us His shield. And the more we use it at home, and the more we pray, and the more we seek time with our children, the more blessed we're going to be as parents. Don't slack off on hanging out with them. Okay, say you have your child away at school. How do I get this into application? I can call them. You know what, son? I was just thinking about you. Daughter, I was just thinking about you. Let me pray for you. And you'd be surprised how many times that call makes a difference in the life of that person. You can never be too far from your children and pointing them to the Lord. Not with the technology we have now, FaceTime, all these other things. Nunca estamos muy lejos de nuestros hijos. FaceTime, todo lo que tenemos con las computadoras, podemos estar practicando las escrituras con ellos, ¿sí o no? La cosa es que a veces nos ponemos flojitos. Y al rato ahí andamos batallando y no sabemos por qué. Los preceptos de Dios se tienen que aplicar, acuérdense, continuamente, en verdad. See, the precepts of God have to be applied continually and be ready to use each and every day of our lives with our kids. Don't drop the ball. Look at verse 28, Proverbs 14. In a multitude of people is a king's glory, but in the dearth of people is a prince's ruin. En la multitud del pueblo está la gloria del rey, pero en la falta del pueblo está la ruina del príncipe. Okay? The more subjects under a king, the more the people see the king as greater, correct? Entre más tiene sujetos el rey bajo de él, más grande miran a ese rey en el mundo, ¿verdad? Y una de las cosas, ¿verdad?, que esto pasó con David, que hizo mal, me acordó de cuando hizo el censo y que se enojó Dios con él. I remember King David when I read this verse, because he made a census that God was not involved in, and it was for pride to see how big his kingdom had gotten. And if you recall, God had to send a very difficult correction upon him. And one of the things that happened here, right, when he went through the scripture, he told them, look, because of what you did, 70,000 people are going to die. What would you prefer, 3 days, right, of my correction? Or do you want man to correct you? And remember what David said? No, don't let me up to man, because man will roast me. And he gave, the Lord says, go for it. Give me that pestilence for 3 days. And that's what happened to the men. See, the more you have people, the more accountable you are for their lives. It's what a lot of pastors don't get. Whenever God trusts you with people in a church, you're accountable for those lives. And that is terrifying to me. You know why? Because you will give an account to God for those people. How you treat them, how you serve them, how you love them, how you taught them, all these things come into play. But guess what? God will also hold you accountable for the people in your family, the ones you take care of. Are you fighting for them with passion? Are you going after them even though you see them on the wrong road to pull them back? See, we have to. We can't settle that Satan gets our kids. No podemos estar satisfechos que el enemigo agarra a nuestros hijos. Tenemos que pelear por ellos. Y si nosotros miramos que van en el camino incorrecto, tenemos que jalarlos para atrás con todo lo que tenemos. Y esa es la palabra y el Espíritu Santo de Dios que nos va a ayudar. En el día cuando miré al rey David siendo esto, quiero ir ahí a 2 Samuel 24, versículos 1 al 4. Cuando andaba numerando este David, rey David, a su gente, vino el profeta Gad. Remember that Gad, the prophet, came to him. And one of the things he told the man, once you're wrong, you can get things turned around, but look at what he had to do. Let's go there. 2 Samuel 24, 1 through 4. 2 Samuel 24, versículos 1 al 4. Now again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. And it incited David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. The king said to Joab, the commander of the army who was with him, go about now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and register the people that I may know the number of the people. But Joab said to the king, now may the Lord your God add to the people 100 times as many as they are, while the eyes of my lord the king still see. But why does my lord the king delight in this thing? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the commanders of the army. So Joab and the commander of the army went out from the presence of the king to register the people of Israel. De nuevo, la ira del Señor se encendió contra Israel y incitó a David contra ellos, diciendo, ve, haz un censo de Israel y de Judá. Y el rey dijo a Joab, jefe del ejército, que estaba con él, recorre todas las tribus de Israel, desde Dan hasta Beerseba, y haz un censo del pueblo para que yo sepa el número de la gente. Pero Joab respondió al rey, que el Señor tu Dios añada al pueblo 100 veces más de lo que son, mientras todavía vean los ojos de mi señor el rey. Pero, ¿por qué se complace mi señor, el rey, en esto? Sin embargo, la palabra del rey prevaleció contra Joab y contra los jefes del ejército. Salieron pues Joab y los jefes del ejército de la presencia del rey para hacer el censo del pueblo de Israel. Now I want you to notice one thing. David was severely corrected by God. And when those 70 people died, he says, man, give it to me. I messed up, not them. Said, no, the Lord said, I have other plans for you. I just want you to see how careless you can get when you don't walk with me. And he brought his wrath at that moment. But he showed mercy there because he could have wiped out everybody. El Señor podía destruir a todos, si se fijan, pero no lo hizo. Y cuando David dijo ese censo, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que vino el profeta Gad y le ministró. Le dijo, ¿sabes qué? Vale más que te pongas bien con Dios. The prophet Gad came to David and he said, you better get right with God. You know what you got to do? You got to build an altar to the Lord. Tienes que hacer un altar al Señor. Y vamos al versículo 15. Ahí de 2 Samuel 24. Let's go to verse 15 of 2 Samuel 24. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning until the appointed time. And 70,000 men of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. Y el Señor envió pestilencia sobre Israel desde la mañana hasta el tiempo señalado. Desde Dan hasta Beersheba murieron 70,000 hombres del pueblo. Now I want you to see this because it's important. One of the things that God told them to do, why don't you build an altar at the threshing floor at Arauha's property? ¿Por qué no haces un trono allí? I mean, un altar, le dijo el profeta Gad a David. Y era la era donde era la propiedad de Araura. Pero lo que quiero que miren, ¿qué significancia tiene esa propiedad? What I want you to see is the significance of that property. That was Mount Moriah, where it was located. La locación donde estaba esta era, era el monte de Moriah. What happened at the Mount of Moriah? Isaac was being offered by Abraham, who the Lord provided, right? Jesus was crucified on that mountain, on the cross at Calvary. When you see that, I want you to see that because whenever you mess up as a servant of God or as a person under the covering of God, there is always time for restoration. But you have to build an altar. And you have to establish yourself right with God again. Just like Mount Moriah, right? We remember this is the place where we live. We worship. Without the cross, we don't have the blessings that we have. And so when we mess up as parents, we got to go to the cross. We got to go to Mount Moriah. And we've got to die to self and be able to be restored when we say, Lord, help me. Lift me up again. Una de las cosas más importantes, y les voy a dar este consejo, que cuando hacen mal ante el Señor y fallan, todo el tiempo el Señor te quiere dar misericordia para restaurarte. El profeta Gad le dijo a David, hazte un altar allí y ponte bien con el Señor. Y eso es lo que nos dice el Señor todos. Quizás no andas caminando muy fuerte ahorita. Ponte bien con tu Señor. Y vas a ver cómo te derrama misericordia y gracia. Nunca es muy tarde de cambiar. Si nuestros hogares están fuera de la voluntad de Dios, nunca es muy tarde de caminar con estos preceptos que estamos aprendiendo. Seguir delante del Señor en su altar de misericordia y gracia. Always build thrones, altars, I'm sorry, when you mess up. Because that's the place where you get restored and your heart gets restored again. Is your altar being used continually at home? ¿Está siendo tu altar siendo usado constantemente en tu hogar? ¿O está lleno de polvo? ¿O is it full of dust? Homes that use the truth of God and build altars to God in His Word will have moments where you're strengthened at that perfect time when you need it the most. We all get tired as parents, guys. And we all get hit by the enemy all the time, don't we? Because of why we're walking with God. And the enemy wants to stop that. The moment you make a mistake, repent. Just like David. And start building an altar there where you cry out to God and you say, Lord, help me. Help me. Because I can't do it on my own. And He will restore you. Todos hemos hecho errores en la vida. Pero lo precioso de Dios, que el momento que tú te arrepientes y levantas tu altar ahí, te oye, te escucha y te restaura otra vez. No dejes que el enemigo te siga golpeando con tus fracasos. Su gracia es más preciosa para ti. Don't let the enemy beat you up with your failures. That's what he loves for you to do, instead of coming and building the altar. God can turn around the heart of any child, of any husband, of any wife. Dios puede voltear el corazón de cualquier mujer, cualquier esposo, a cualquier tiempo. Y lo que hace el Señor se glorifica al mismo tiempo, porque solamente Él te podía liberar. And what happens is God is glorified because only He could deliver you. Okay? So, remember, we are vulnerable. We are attacked continually. We make mistakes. But the beautiful part is God restores, and His grace is greater than our failures. Amen? Su gracia está más grande que nuestros fracasos. All right, verse 29. I'm sorry, I got caught up with verse 28. Okay, verse 29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. El lento para la ira tiene gran prudencia, pero el que es irascible ensalza la necedad. The word for quick-tempered in the Hebrew is kitzar ruach. Kitzar ruach means quick-tempered, hasty of spirit, literally means short of breath. Aquí la palabra, ¿verdad?, que dice que lento para la ira tiene gran prudencia, pero el que es irascible ensalza la necedad. La palabra, ¿verdad?, por la ira es kirak ruach. Quiere decir que fácilmente pierdes tu temperamento, fácilmente se te acaba el respiro por tanto que te enojas. En otras palabras, estás corriendo en tu propia fuerza cuando pierdes tu temporada, temperamento. See, when you're losing your temper, you're lacking God's presence in your life. And so you're running on your own power. That's why it says having to do with losing your breath, because you're running on your own human breath instead of the inspired breath of the Holy Spirit within you. Estás corriendo con el respiro humano que se acaba, pero el respiro del Espíritu Santo con que respira vida no lo tienes cuando pierdes tu temperamento, ¿verdad? Entonces lo que dice aquí, ¿verdad?, que el Espíritu de Dios tiene que estar contigo. Esta misma palabra por el Espíritu, ¿verdad?, se usa en Génesis 1:2 cuando el Espíritu estaba morando sobre las aguas, moviéndose. See, this word here for the Spirit, right, when you're running out of breath, is the same word for the Spirit in Genesis 1:2, where the Spirit is hovering over the waters. And so one of the things is the connection is clear. The person who has a quick temper or short in the Spirit is the one who operates under their own power. That's what the Bible is saying. La persona que se pierde, ¿verdad?, su temperamento rápido y está corto del espíritu es la persona que opera bajo sus propias fuerzas. Y porque está haciendo todo en sus propias fuerzas, continuamente está vulnerable, frustrado y con ira. And because this person runs on their own power, they are continually vulnerable to frustration and wrath. That's what the Bible is saying. The person filled with the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. It'll be different because you're under self-control. La persona, ¿verdad?, que exhibe el Espíritu del Señor va a mostrar el fruto del Espíritu Santo. Vamos a Gálatas 22 y 23. Let's go to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Mas el fruto del Espíritu es amor, gozo, paz, paciencia, benignidad, bondad, fidelidad, mansedumbre, dominio propio. Contra tales cosas no hay ley. Amén. Estamos bajo control. Si no perdíamos, ¿verdad?, y no nos enojamos, una de las cosas que hacemos nosotros, estamos operando en el Espíritu. When you are under the guidance of God and the truth of God, you're operating in His Spirit. Okay, verse 30 of Proverbs 14. Versículo 30, Proverbios 14. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. Un corazón apacible es vida para el cuerpo, mas las pasiones son podredumbre de los huesos. Okay, many people literally get sick because they envy what others have. Hay mucha gente que se enferma porque tienen envidia de lo que tiene alguien más. Y se enojan, yo quiero ese carro también como ellos, esa casa que tienen, y gente está lleno de envidia. People get jealous over the cars people drive, the homes they own, and one of the things is, if you keep living that way, you're going to wither out, and you're going to get sick. How many people are at your work sites, and they're always jealous of the work or the position you have, and they want to hurt you, because they want to get promoted? ¿Cuánta gente hay en negocios que se enoja porque tú tienes un título más alto que ellos y te quieren lastimar para poder ganar tu título? ¿O te dan una agregación de tu dinero, verdad? Te dan un raise y una de las cosas tienes más dinero y anda la gente celosa porque te están pagando más. There's people that get angry because you get a raise at work, other people don't, and they're envious of the other. What the Bible says is that that kind of jealousy is cancerous to your body, like cancer to the bones. Lo que dice ese clase de celo, envidia, es como cáncer a los huesos. Te vas a enfermar. You will get sick. Verse 31. Vamos al versículo 31. Proverbios 14. He who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. El que oprime al pobre afrenta a su hacedor, pero el que se apiada del necesitado le honra. Okay? One of the things is that Solomon would go on to say, the Lord is the maker of both the rich and the poor. Salomón iba a declarar que el Señor es el hacedor del rico y del pobre. Let's go to Proverbs 22:2. Vamos a Proverbios 22:2. The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. El rico y el pobre tienen un lazo común. El que hizo a los ambos es el Señor. ¿Qué quiere decir? Que el Señor tiene al rico y al pobre en sus manos. Nosotros no debemos de menospreciar a los pobres. We should not, right, cut down the poor. Because God made them both for a purpose. El Señor los hizo a los dos por un propósito. So that we could help them and at the same time continue to pray for their salvation. Para que el Señor les ayude y los salve también. Okay? So, God will take care of His own. Don't worry. Let Him do His work. You keep praying for people and not cut them down. Oppressing the poor is condemned by God. Oprimiendo a los pobres es condenado por Dios. ¿Por qué? Porque el pobre y el rico están hechos en la imagen de Dios. The poor and the rich are made in the image of God. To harm the needy is to break God's heart. Lastimar al pobre quebra el corazón del Señor. Okay? And then let's close off our teaching with Proverbs 14:32-35. Vamos a cerrar nuestra enseñanza con Proverbios 14:32-35. The wicked is thrust down by his wrongdoing, but the righteous has a refuge when he dies. Wisdom rests in the heart of the one who has understanding. But in the hearts of fools is made known. It is made known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. The king's favor is toward a servant who acts wisely, but his anger is toward him who acts shamefully. El impío es derribado por su maldad, pero el justo tiene un refugio cuando muere. En el corazón del prudente reposa la sabiduría, pero en medio de los necios no se da a conocer. La justicia engrandece a la nación, pero el pecado es afrenta para los pueblos. El favor del rey es para el siervo, que obra sabiamente, mas su enojo es contra el que obra vergonzosamente. Now this is important for us to understand, because what exalts a nation? ¿Qué exalta una nación? La justicia. Righteousness. That exalts a nation. The nation whose God is their king is blessed. La nación que el rey es Dios está bienaventurada, bendecida. See, a nation isn't blessed by their political system or economic philosophies or brilliant construction or colorful history. None of that. La nación, ¿verdad?, que es bienaventurada, no es bienaventurada por los sistemas políticos, el gobierno, filosofías económicas, nada de estas cosas. Su construcción, su constitución, not even by their constitution are they blessed. What exalts a nation is righteousness. Lo que exalta una nación es la justicia. See, one of the things that I want you to understand, in the era that we're living in postmodernism right now, where they say there are no absolutes, there are. En la filosofía existencial que vivimos ahorita, existencial, perdón, dicen que no hay absolutos. Sí hay. Y la justicia es valorizada por Dios. See, and righteousness is valued by God. And when a nation is honoring him in righteousness, he will exalt that nation. But when it doesn't, what does it bring? It says here, sin and humiliation, right? Te trae pecado, te trae una vergüenza y humillación cuando no estás caminando en justicia. Cada país va a dar cuenta a Dios por cómo vive. Every nation will give God an account for how they live. See, Israel is the only nation that has a special covenant relationship with God. That's it. Israel es la única nación que tiene un pacto con Dios, ¿verdad? Que es muy importante. But the principles of God apply to all nations. Pero todos los preceptos de Dios le aplican a todas las naciones. Y los va a juzgar. And God is going to judge them. Let's go to Romans 1. Verses 18 to 32. Romanos 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures, idolatry. Therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them over to their degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function of that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned their natural function of the woman, and burned in their desire for one another, toward men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the dual penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do the things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Porque la ira de Dios se revela desde el cielo contra toda impiedad e injusticia de los hombres que con injusticia restringen la verdad. Porque los que se conocen acerca de Dios es evidente dentro de ellos, pues Dios se lo hizo evidente. Porque desde la creación del mundo sus atributos invisibles, su eterno poder y divinidad se han visto con toda claridad, siendo extendidos por medio de lo creado, de manera que no tienen excusa. Pues aunque conocían a Dios, no le honraban como Dios, ni le dieron gracias, sino que se hicieron vanos en sus razonamientos y su necio corazón fue entenebrecido. Profesando ser sabios, se volvieron necios. Y cambiaron la gloria de Dios incorruptible por una imagen de forma de hombre corruptible, de aves, de cuadrúpedos y de reptiles. Idolatría. Por consiguiente, Dios los entregó a la impureza en la lujuria de sus corazones, de modo de que deshonraron entre sí sus propios cuerpos. Porque cambiaron la verdad de Dios por la mentira, y adoraron y sirvieron a la criatura en lugar del Creador, que es bendito por los siglos. Amén. Por esta razón, Dios los entregó a pasiones degradantes, porque sus mujeres cambiaron la función natural por la que se encuentra la naturaleza, que es contra la naturaleza. Y de la misma manera también los hombres abandonaron el uso natural de la mujer, se encendieron en su lujuria unos con otros, cometiendo hechos vergonzosos hombres con hombres y recibiendo en sí mismos el castigo correspondiente a su extravío. Y así como ellos no tuvieron a bien reconocer a Dios, Dios los entregó a una mente depravada para que hicieran las cosas que no convienen. Y estando llenos de toda injusticia, maldad, avaricia y malicia, colmados de envidia, homicidios, pleitos, engaños y malignidad, son chismosos, detractores, aborrecedores de Dios, insolentes, soberbios, jactanciosos, inventores de lo malo, desobedientes a los padres. Sin entendimiento, indignos de confianza, sin amor, despiadados. Los cuales, aunque conocen el decreto de Dios, de lo que practican tales cosas son dignos de muerte, no solo los hacen, sino que también dan su aprobación a los que le practican. Qué tremendo, ¿verdad? Todo eso miramos ya en el mundo. We see all those things in the world now happening. From Romans 1:18-32, we see it's man's rebellion against God. Miramos la rebeldía contra Dios. And every nation that is doing this, and all the worldly leaders cannot escape the judgment of God. Todo mundo que practica estas cosas horribles ante Dios, no se van a escapar sus líderes ni las naciones. Y cuando un país lleva a su gente al camino equivocado, en vez de llevarlos en el camino correcto de Dios, van a dar contestación a Dios. Every single nation that leads its citizens down the wrong path instead of God's way will give an account to God. Understand that. That's who He is. They will answer to Him on Judgment Day. Van a contestar a Él el día de juicio. Now I want you to understand this. Even if a nation legalizes sin that goes against God's word, they will be judged. I don't care if they make abortion legal. I don't care if they make homosexuality legal, pedophilia legal. They're going to answer to God. Toda esta gente que hace esas cosas que son abominaciones al Señor, homosexualismo, molestando a los niños, ¿verdad? Confundiéndolos si son mujeres o hombres, le van a contestar a Dios, aunque lo hagan legal. No se van a escapar de la ira de Dios, porque ¿qué exalta a una nación? La justicia. What exalts a nation? Righteousness. And this is what he's telling us. If you're going to build your home, build it in truth. And if Satan has tried to get in to confuse children in your home as to who they are, fight for them. Don't give up. God will honor what you're trying to do, and God will break those chains that oppress these children that have been programmed now, indoctrinated for years now. Estos niños que son infectados, estos niños que son, verdad, decepcionados en tus hogares, peleen por ellos porque es un ataque espiritual sobre ellos. Pelea por la justicia de Dios. No te des, porque el Señor es el Dios que puede quebrar cadenas. See, our God is the God who can break chains. Our God is the God who can deliver. Nuestro Dios puede liberar a cualquier momento. Pero no, ya nos impusimos porque ya nos programaron también en las televisoras y en todo lo que miramos, que está bien, que es parte de la vida normal. No es. Y van a dar cuenta. We have been programmed even by society with what we see on TV to accept that kind of lifestyle, that kind of rebellion, and that is not of God. We cannot settle for even nieces, nephews getting destroyed. We have to fight for them. Tenemos que pelear por sobrinos, sobrinas, cualquier persona que mírenos que son decepcionados por el enemigo, más que nos va a costar un altar también. And you know what it requires? An altar built for that. To pray for the children in our families and people in our culture that have been deceived. And we got to fight for them. So today I want to remind you, yes, it looks like, man, the world is winning, but they can't win once we get and understand how powerful our God is. Don't let your homes be ransacked by the enemy anymore. No dejen que el diablo le robe sus casas. Romans 14, 11 and 12 say, we will all give an account to God one day. Todos vamos a dar cuenta al Señor un día. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God, period. Porque está escrito, vivo yo, dice el Señor, que ante mí se doblará toda rodilla, y toda lengua alabará a Dios. De modo de que cada uno de nosotros dará a Dios cuenta de sí mismo. Can you imagine all the knees in this world are going to bow down to the king? How many billions of knees is that? ¿Cuántas billones de rodillas se van a doblar? And how many lives will give an account? All of us. Y todas las vidas van a dar cuenta. So today I remind you, build his house on his truth. He honors righteousness. El Señor honra justicia. Amén. Sigan edificando sus casas sobre la justicia de Dios. Peleen por sus hijos. No dejen que el diablo y el mundo los agarre. Fight for your children. Don't let the devil or the world win them. Let Christ deliver them. Amen. And I'll be praying with you guys as well. Voy a estar orando con ustedes también.